Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's a brand new episode, and it's gonna be some fucking question and answers. You give me the questions, I give you the answers, and I hope they don't sound like shit, and they give you some helpful tips.
Woo! Hello, everyone. As the custom theme song said, it's a question and answer episode of Mikey Likes You. How is everyone doing? Hopefully very, 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 very good. Another home edition because we are still on motherfucking lockdown. Motherfucking lockdown. So yeah, there's that. But it's been a while. I've been lucky enough to have a lot of guests and a lot of like kind of themed episodes, but it's been a while. In the words of Aaron Lewis, it's been a while since we just did a plain old Q&A, and I know a lot of people like that, or at least that's the feedback that I'm getting. So I put out the beacon for some questions, and I got some good ones. So I'll just get right into it. Hi, Mike. This is from Colleen. Colleen. Hi, Mike. Thanks so much for taking questions. I appreciate all you do so much. Well, I appreciate what you do, Colleen. My question is, I like to do squats and would like to get better at them. My problem is that my low back hurts after I do them for the day, or for that day, and often the next day too. Mm-hmm. It's not a sharp pain, but a dull, sore pain, which is very uncomfortable. Do you have any advice on how I can change up the movement and or low back decompressing stretches, etc.? Thanks so much. You live. Well, if it's not a sharp pain, if you're not injuring yourself, if it's an actual soreness for like muscle fatigue, that means two things are at play here. Probably a good combination of two things. One, your low back, your erectors are too weak. And you need to correct those imbalances. It happens quite a bit. Oftentimes someone has like weak glutes, weak abdominals, and it throws off a lot of the compound movements. But weak low back is very common. And also you're probably not squatting correctly. And that's okay. Don't let that discourage you. Don't give up, because it is that beneficial. And it is important for people to be squatting, deadlifting, all those things. You know, barring anything exceptional, if you have an injury or you are anatomically not set up for those. But overall, most of us get a lot of benefit out of those big compound movements, man, especially the squat and the deadlift. So if you're having trouble doing it, I recommend Squat University all the time. Squat University is fantastic. They're constantly giving out tremendous information. You're going to learn a lot there. I'm constantly learning about my deadlift and my squat, and I'm pretty darn good. And I still, you know, I'm not a professional. I'm not an expert at an elite level. Every one of us can learn and can constantly get better. So even if you're throwing up big weights, this notion that you're too good to get better or to refine your form, that's insane. The greatest in the world at everything all train, all work to get better, to refine their skills. Trust me. I'll never forget back in – it's probably like 2005 or 6, Metallica did a breakfast with Kevin and Bean. And for those of you who are not from Los Angeles or not familiar with the Kevin and Bean show, it was the morning show at K-Rock, the kind of alternative rock station here in Los Angeles for 30 years, 30-something years. And I was a member of that radio show. And back when they did this breakfast with Metallica, and they would constantly have these huge bands come in and play some music real early in the morning. Sometimes they'd be pre-recorded, but either way, you know, the show was on from 5 a.m. to 10 a.m. And they'd do these breakfast with shows. It was a live concert with humongous bands. They did U2, Weezer, Foo Fighters, everyone, you know, go down the list. If they did it. And they did one with Metallica. And during commercial break, I'm a guitar player. I'm not a great one, but I love playing the guitar. And so I was talking to Kirk Hammett, and I thought, this is insane. I'm having a conversation with Kirk Hammett. And we were just shooting the shit. And I wasn't trying to be too geeky, and I certainly wasn't trying to bother the guy. But he was very personable, and we were just chit-chatting. Because I was running a soundboard, and it was kind of set up near him. And he started talking. He said, yeah, well, you know, and then I got to – when I get back up to Northern California, I'm going to work on that with my teacher. And I said, your guitar teacher? He said, yeah, oh, yeah. I was like, wait – you have a guitar teacher, dude? And he was like, yes, oh, of course. I mean, I can't get so – I mean, there was times in my career where I got kind of egocentric and I thought that I didn't. But he's like, it's crazy not to continually get better with your instrument and discover more and refine your skills and stuff. And I was like, man. From that point on, I kept always reminding myself, like, I was like, if Kirk Hammett has a fucking guitar teacher, then nobody's good enough at anything to just say, like, I'm good. I don't need to get better. I don't need to learn. No, you should always have an open mind to learning more. Squat University is a great place to go. Another thing is you may be low bar squatting, or where you have your legs a little wider and you push your butt far back with the bar lower on your upper thoracic as opposed to up by your traps, which is what, you know, high bar squatting. It's very simple. The name is right in the title. Low bar squatting, the bar is lower on your back. High bar squats, they are up resting on your traps, on your shoulders. Low bar squatting develops your lower back more, but it also puts a lot more stress on your erectors. So if you are low bar squatting, which is very common if you learned how to squat in CrossFit, CrossFitters like to low bar squat, or at least they traditionally teach the low bar squat, then, you know, I would probably try to switch into high bar squatting. Also, if you are high bar squatting, do not high bar squat in fucked up shoes. Either get weightlifting shoes or squat on plates, you know, underneath your heels. Elevate your heels. Squatting high bar is much different than deadlifting and low bar squats, where you want like a flat foot, where you see a lot of guys, even professionals, doing it in like Chuck Taylors or, you know, like Vans, you know, like, or flat, really flat shoes. Wrestling shoes is really commonly used. But high bar squats, much like the Olympic lifts, biomechanically, you do not want a flat heel. You want your heel elevated. So either invest in some weightlifting shoes or just get 2 10-pound plates and put your heels on one each, you know, in your natural stance, because that's what you want to be at biomechanically. You want to be pushing from your midfoot, not from your heel, and you want to keep that kind of upright torso, and it's really not proper to be doing that. Just doing that in your bare feet. So those are some basic tips to kind of get away from hurting yourself during the squat. But like I said, there's a million things to learn and to do properly to be good, to be really effective at deadlifting and squatting. And you should never stop learning, and you should never assume that you're done getting better. Squat University is the number one place I can recommend, but let me think of some other places. Athlete Jeff Cavalier, actually, because he's not only shredded and lifts a lot, he has a career as a physical therapist. He does a lot of good work with getting your body in proper mechanical kind of positioning to safely do a lot of the compound lifts. So Jeff Cavalier at Athlete X, I would recommend that. The dude that's 70s big, 70S big, they are really like crazy smart dudes. And then, of course, always recommend those dudes over at Mind Pump. All right, let's move on to some other questions here. I'm cutting. This is from the Crypt Keeper. Whoo, scary. Ah, blah, the Crypt Keeper. I'm cutting. I can eat like crazy. What will keep me fuller for longer? I'm 5'9 and 190 pounds and can eat like I'm 400 pounds. Okay, so you're beefy. This is a dude. Yes, it is. So you're by no means a fat dude, but you're beefy. 5'9", 190 is beefy, and I could see, I'm going through your pictures here, you're a muscular dude. You're like a husky, muscular guy, but you're no skinny mini. So you got to factor that in. You're going to eat like a big dude because you are a big dude, and you probably, to get to be a big dude, you ate a lot, and your body gets accustomed to eating in a certain way. That's where the kind of the frustration and the actual discomfort of dieting comes in, is that you have to eat less than you want to eat. not only what you want to eat, like intellectually, you're telling yourself, I would like to eat more. Your body is sending signals chemically and instinctively where you're like, well, no, wait a second. I'm not done here. I need more. And you just got to stop. And that is, in a nutshell, really the main discomfort of dieting. But you got to get a control of that. And so as far as the key things to satiate you, I'm a big fan of black coffee. It really does blunt hunger. And it's a superfood. Don't let anybody convince you coffee's unhealthy. Within reason, obviously you can drink enough coffee that it fucks your stomach up. But all this nonsense about like adrenal fatigue and all that, just shut the fuck up. Okay. Now, if it's preventing you from sleeping, it is unhealthy because sleep is one of the most overlooked aspects of true health. So, you know, don't drink coffee late at night or near bedtime if you're someone who sleeps in the day. But overall, day in and day out, you know, some coffee it's really got a lot of health benefits. It's chock full of antioxidants and micronutrients, and it blunts your hunger, speeds up your metabolism, keeps your mind clean. I'm a big fan. Fiber. Fibrous vegetables in particular, because you fill if you take like 200 calories of, let's say, pasta, it's nothing. 200 calories of pasta is like barely fills the palm of your hand. You know what 200 calories of fucking cabbage or spinach looks like? It's crazy amounts of bulk. And that bulk fills up your stomach. And so you get a lot of bang for your buck. Those things really, really tend to fill me up. I eat a lot of fibrous, kind of cruciferous vegetables and leafy greens. I mean, just tons. And you can get away with eating a fuck ton because they're so low in calories. And you find yourself a good, healthy – I like to use lemon juice for dressings. I like to use, a teaspoon of some olive oil, avocado oil. I like the mono unsaturated fats, so I'm a big olive oil and avocado oil guy. But occasionally, you know, I'll fuck around with the saturated, so, you know, the MCTs. You do what you do, but those leafy greens and the cruciferous vegetables, big, big in helping you blunt hunger. Nicotine. I'm not advocating taking up smoking, but nicotine, like the snus pouches or nicotine gum, it's really a safe and effective drug for dieting and for it's a neuro – what the fuck do they call those? Nootropic. It's a nootropic. It really helps your brain function. It's very true. It's not just kind of an old wives' tale. That's why all writers and – you know, people who have to get creative and get thoughtful, they are all, like, you know, traditionally were big smokers. But you can get the good aspects of nicotine without the negative aspects of smoking. Like I said, nicotine gum is great. Nicotine lozenges and nicotine snus pouches is what I use. It is addictive, but so is caffeine. You know, like I don't want to encourage people to use a drug they're not comfortable using. Okay, if you're not, if the whole idea of nicotine scares you, then don't do it. I'm simply saying, when it comes down to it, I know there's ample and conclusive scientific proof that the drug nicotine itself, in and of itself, is very safe. It's quite innocuous. In fact, it's not only innocuous; it's kind of healthy. There's myriad health benefits as far as metabolically, and like I said, it's an effective nootropic. John Kiefer, the guy behind carb backloading, wrote a great little booklet on nicotine and everything about it. And he's a pretty sharp dude. He's a PhD, so he's not just some meathead. Nicotine Declassified, if you want to further investigate nicotine, it's a great, great handy tool because don't just take it from me. I understand. I understand why people would be reticent to believe that. I mean, you're told – since day one, like that's the devil, you know, is nicotine and tobacco. But the truth is tobacco products are the devil. Smoking tobacco and the tobacco industry and what they put in their tobacco, that's really, really bad for you. Isolating the drug nicotine is a completely different thing. It really, really is. So I encourage you to go there. And then fats, healthy fats and protein are always going to be more satiating than carbohydrates, even complex healthy carbs, you know, the sweet potato and the things, which I don't have a problem with. I'm a big carb guy. I eat, you know, lots of rice and sweet potatoes and fruits and things like that. But typically, you know, just pound for pound, if you're going to go with hunger and keeping hunger at bay, fats and proteins are really satiating. And that's why – and one of the other reasons why I recommend everybody really pump their protein intake up. I like to start with a pound per – excuse me, a gram of protein per pound of body weight. So for this fella in here, the Crypt Keeper, blah, that's 190 grams of protein. You'll definitely notice that your appetite will drop down a bit. You'll just won't be so ravenous, you know, because I feel you, dude. I'm a guy who I'm not a naturally big guy, but I was roided out, you know, in my early 20s, and I've always trained really hard. And so I got this way of eating that's like kind of crazy. And I have to really keep my hunger at bay. You know, it's an issue. What else? Hunger. Oh, apples. Apples are great. Apples are a great little tool and one of the healthiest fruits you can have. One of the most beneficial for dieting. I could really break it down, but citrus and apples, they're great. They're great for dieting. And, you know, don't let the low carb community scare you completely away from things like fruits, berries and apples. And there's a lot of great health and dieting metabolic benefits from fruits. But if you are on a low carb diet, of course, you know, that's not really an option. And I'm not here to shit on keto or low carb. I'm simply saying that people, because of the big push recently in the last 10 years or so of a more low carb approach, people have gotten fruit phobic. And it's not good, man. It's really a lot of good things in fruit to help you dieting and getting leaner. So yeah, there you go. There's some good tips, dude. And get better sleep. You will be shocked how much better your appetite control and your craving control will be if you get solid sleep night after night. All right. Stop. One second. Hold up. Okay. Before we get to the Q&A, before we get to the good stuff, I got to take a real quick moment to tell you about something awesome. Something that can get you excited. Something that can create fun during the lockdown. It's true. While you're sitting at home, you can still have fun betting online. How? With no Major League Baseball, no NBA, no NHL, well, don't worry. BetOnline.ag has your back. NASCAR, there's NASCAR, bet on that. Madden, NBA 2K, gaming, it's right there. You can bet on that. The UFC, Dana White does not care about the rules. He's putting on fights, and he's putting on a lot of them. You can bet on that. There's also online casino right there at BetOnline.ag with poker and blackjack. And coming up next Sunday, hear this. Bet Online has ex-Chicago Bulls Horace Grant, Bill Cartwright, and Craig Hodges joining to discuss Michael Jordan documentary After the Dance. It's amazing, and I do want to hear what they have to say about it. There's still fun to be had, so go to betonline.ag and use the promo code MYPOD100. That's MYPOD100 to receive your welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's betonline.ag, and use the promo code MYPOD100. That's MYPOD100. Bet Online, your online wagering solution. This is from Laura Castaneda, 727. Big fan of your wife from Rules. What does a typical day consist of for her to maintain her figure? You live. I don't want to sell my wife out or anything, but, you know, I don't want to say sellout. That's a weird thing. I don't want to talk out of school or say something that my wife would be uncomfortable with. But my wife is first off, she's tall. My wife's a very tall woman, 5'9", 5'10", something like that. So she has that gift. It's a lot easier to kind of maintain your figure when you're taller. Anyone out there who's short knows that, you know, I speak the truth. It's really tough to make because you just don't – it's kind of like – there's not as much surface area to fill in. So my wife's tall, and she is genetically gifted. My wife is one of those people. She always had like – now she's let her – she'll be the first to admit she's let her figure go at points in her career. But she also – you know, she was gifted. My wife has like big, broad, like nice shoulders and really teeny natural waist and a big giant ass and muscular thighs and stuff. You know, so she's got genetic gifts to work with. But my wife is also really – she's pretty disciplined about her dieting. She's not as anal retentive as I am. Like she lives her life a lot more. But she – you know, day in and day out, my wife eats very healthy, very high protein with every meal. My wife is a big meat eater. I don't know if that's your deal, but my wife is – you know, she likes her chicken and meat and fish. Lots of veggies and lots of fruit. And she only eats three times a day, sometimes two. My wife is not a big snacker. I think naturally she is, but she's come to realize that it just fits her better to feel better emotionally, mentally, and physically to kind of space out her meals and have bigger meals much more infrequently. I wouldn't say that she's like intermittent faster because she doesn't eat by the clock. She's one of those people like I eat when I'm hungry. And you will not see my wife like snacking. And when she does, she's like, why am I doing this? So like, you know, as far as like what she intends to do to maintain her figure, those are the things. And then she likes lifting weights and she likes to run. My wife is an outdoorsy chick. That's the like granola Seattle side of her. She likes to go on hikes and run and stay very active. She takes the dogs on long walks pretty much every day. And I've gotten in her head about the 10,000 steps every day. And my wife does a lot of body weight and light weight training, resistance training. So, you know, that's about it. About two or three times a week she resistance trains, and then two or three times a week on top of that she does some type of, like, cardio. What's my eating like? From Lunchbox 66. What are your eating habits like? Well, that's a tough one to answer because I could go very broad just to give you some ideas. But the problem is like, I don't want people to say like, oh, I like your physique, Mike. What do you do? I'm going to follow that, because that never works. And it's actually, I don't want people to do that because I don't want people to get led down some path that's going to lead to frustration. Every guy worth a salt has seen some movie or seen some athlete on TV or in person and gone, that guy looks like how I want to look. You scour the internet or you go to some fucking, you know, Flex magazine article about like, what did Bruce Lee work out? Like, what was his workout like? What was his diet like? What is Brad Pitt in Fight Club? How did he do that? Arnold, of course, Arnold, Bruce Lee, those are the biggest. Mike Tyson, another one. And, you know, more recently, like guys like Chris Hemsworth or, you know, Ryan Reynolds, whatever. It's like, how did they get that body? Well, there's a million factors that go into them getting that body. There are going to be some like through lines. I'm sure they train like animals and I'm sure they ate really well. But everyone's body's wildly different. Almost all of the people I mentioned are genetically fucking elite. But I will tell you this. Okay, so I'll give you some background on how I train and how I eat so that you can glean some information from it. But I really, 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 really recommend that you don't go, okay, what does Mike do? I want to look like Mike. Which is A, flattering. I see a lot of DMs and stuff like that. And that does, honestly, it really is flattering and I love it. But I really do encourage, don't take what guy or gal A does and think like, I'm going to do exactly like that, follow that protocol, and I'm going to look like that person, because that's not the case. You don't have my training history. You're not my age. You may not be my gender. You're certainly not my natural build. You don't have a history of using steroids. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have my knowledge of how to apply like muscle tension and mind muscle connection. There's just a million factors that go into it. I have fucked around with intermittent fasting and eating really infrequently. I do like it from like a time sensitive standpoint, but I found my real sweet spot, I should say, like where I really feel like I'm humming on all cylinders. Excuse me, is I eat five times a day. Three times I eat what would be considered meals and two kind of snack-y foods. Oftentimes that'll be either pre or post workout where it's like really little, like an apple and a couple egg whites or any type of piece of fruit and like a really small portion of protein, 3 to 4 ounces of meat or like two hard-boiled eggs, something like that. I try not to intake any protein powder or protein bars. If that's your thing, go ahead. But I just really, really believe in real food. The digestion of it, the way that your body assimilates the nutrients, I think it's far superior with real food. I eat protein at all five meals except for one, which I make just fruit. And usually I'll have either like 4 or 5 ounces of something like mango or pineapple. which are great for digestion, or an apple, or some type of berries. Now, why do I do that? I eat a lot of protein. So four out of the five meals, I'm eating protein, a lot of it. I'm a big believer in it. I think you should too. But I also believe that there is a time and a place to allow your digestive tract to rest. I've seen a lot of good evidence that for longevity and health, if you're going to be engaging in these protein gorging sessions for a prolonged period of time, it's nice to allow your digestive tract to get a little massage. And the all fruit meal really does that. I learned that from a trainer that I've been working with for 20 years. One of the guys that really first helped me get into like serious bodybuilding and physique control, Alessandro Comadina, an IFBB pro from Italy. Guy's in his late 50s. He's shredded. He knows more. He's forgotten more about nutrition than I'll ever know. But he's been a real savior for me. Steve Maxwell as well always was a big proponent for the all fruit meal. And then Firas Zahabi in the MMA world, largely considered one of, if not the best overall MMA head coach in the world up at TriStar in Canada. Probably most famous for being George St. Pierre's head coach. He's a big believer in it too. And it's just like, you got to understand that you have all these goals. You have all these ideas of what you want to do with your nutrition once it goes in your body. Well, at some point, digestion has to be a priority. And gut health. And I just don't think – I'm not saying don't take probiotics. I'm not saying that probiotics are shit. I'm not smart enough to say that. What I am saying is that from the studies and the science that I've seen, the jury's out on whether or not they're worth the money. So if you're not going to turn to adding in probiotics and prebiotics into the body, I like to allow my – digestive tract and my gut to get this nice benefit of the enzymes, digestive enzymes, and the kind of nutritional benefit of the inulin from an apple, let's say. There's a lot of just built-in benefits of fruits, and when they come at, isolated without other protein or fats to interfere with digestion or slow down digestion. So like I said, one of my five meals will be an all fruit meal, and it's very small. It's almost always either a single apple or mango or pineapple, one of those three. So the other four meals are usually a protein source. I'm a big egg guy. I'm a big egg white guy, depending on how much fat I want in my meal. I'm a big chicken thigh and lean beef or buffalo guy. I love bison. Big bison guy. I eat a lot of bison. Eat a lot of ground turkey and ground chicken and, chicken breast and chicken and turkey breast. Basic stuff. A lot of seafood. I like seafood. I just really cycle in all these amazing protein sources. And I have a lot of veggies, as I've told you. A lot of spinach, a lot of lettuces, like nutrient-dense lettuces, like butter and red butter and little gems, a lot of asparagus, a lot of zucchini, a lot of peppers, and that really is about it. Now, my carb sources are almost always oatmeal in the mornings, or sweet potato later in the day, or Ezekiel bread. Started fuck around with a little Ezekiel bread, and rice, and that's it. That's honestly, that is my diet. So four meals a day of protein, some carbs, and some green veggies. One meal a day of just a piece of fruit. I get about 40 to 60 grams of protein with each of those four meals. So, for a guy, I'm 175-ish. That's about where I end up. And it works for me. Does work for me. That is, in a nutshell, how I eat. So I hope that answered your question, buddy. A couple more questions. And as always, if you have any questions, DM me or put them on comments at MikeyLikesYou1, the number one, at MikeyLikesYou1. I am always looking for good questions. How do I get my mostly diabetic family into exercise? They complain, then have more health issues. I started your lunges just indoors whenever I get up. Well, It's really hard. I feel for you. And I'm glad that, you know, obviously everybody loves and cares for their family for the most part. And you want them to be healthy. And when they're not, it's tough. And I'm not trying to sell out my dad here. I'm not in any way trying to embarrass him. But as I mentioned earlier, my dad's a bigger guy and he's always struggled with his weight. And you just got to kill him with kindness, especially if you're younger than this person, if you're a grandkid or a child or a younger sibling. You really don't stand to gain anything by telling people how to live their life. You're going to get resentment. You're going to get anger. You're going to get defensiveness, pushback, all that. You just got to say, hey, you know, I love you. I really want you to be healthy and happy, and I want you to be around for as long as you possibly can. And you're just not going to do that in the condition you're in now. And so I'm just throwing that out there, and I'm not going to get on your case. I'm not going to be on you. And then also lead by example. That is the strongest thing you can do. It's really hard to kind of start pointing fingers if you're stuffing your face with fucking nachos, you know? Leading by example is really something that I've found. I've seen it by people who I follow, who have been leaders to me. And then I've seen it when people, they say it to me about what I've done for them in my personal life, you know? It's always backfired. When I kind of do the finger pointing and then, you know, give people ultimatums or, you know, it never works. Adults hate being told how to live their life, but you can just let them know you're there for them and that you care and that you really do wish that they would get more control of their health. It's my best advice, man. What would you suggest for someone very tall and skinny trying to gain muscle mass but having issues? Any sort of workouts or nutrition advice would be amazing. Also get Rudy on that podcast somehow. Periodization at Nick Place. If for those of you, and I know you hate hearing about these people, most of us do not have any trouble gaining weight. In fact, it's quite the opposite. We want to prevent ourselves from gaining weight. But there are many, many people out there who are ectos who just, they have no ability to put on weight. And I get that. It happens. It's real. It's very real. But everyone gains weight in a caloric surplus. Some people need more of a caloric surplus than others. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. Everyone gains weight in a caloric surplus. That's it. That's basic biology. Can't tell me otherwise. The problem is that some people have a genetic makeup where their caloric baseline is so fucking high that they just can't do it. And we all know those guys and gals that you seemingly eat like crazy and they don't gain weight. Well, that's because their basal metabolic rate is really high. And maybe they train a lot too on top of that. You just got to keep pumping up the calories. Really healthy fats are going to be huge for you because they're so calorically dense. I used to know a guy who was really, really, really thin. And he used to drink with his meals, he would have a lot of fattier cuts of meat instead of like I tend to lean towards leaner cuts of meat. But let's say, for instance, I eat a lot of flank steak or ground, 10% ground beef. He was eating a lot of 20% ground beef, 20% fat, that is. And he was eating a lot of ribeye and instead of flank, you know, and like just the fattier stuff. And he would just guzzle coconut milk, Udo's oil, heavy whipping cream. These are all really good sources of healthy fats that you just want to lay in there because the protein and the carbs have to come, obviously. But at 9 calories per gram, fat is going to be really helpful in bulking up, in adding calories. So don't fear fat. Healthy fats are great. Less fibrous sources because when you're eating so much, Stan Efferding talked about that, the guy behind the vertical diet. He talked about working with Hafthor, the guy from Game of Thrones, the mountain from Game of Thrones. He's also a competitive strongman, and he was working with him. And the guy, once they switched him to eating white rice instead of brown rice and less fibrous vegetables, he could digest a lot more food and get a lot more food in. So white rice is huge for gaining muscle mass. That's a great carb source. Now you may be saying, hey, wait. Earlier in the episode, you recommended lots of fibrous vegetables and lots of fibrous sources of carbs. Yes. for someone who's trying to control their eating, for someone who's trying to knock down how much they're eating and they're intaking. Great idea. But even though, even you, the person who's dieting, you can take in too much fiber. It happens a lot because people hear the word fiber is healthy. They hear fiber is healthy over and over again. And there's too much of a good thing with fiber, a lot, and it can really interfere with digestion. But, you know, 25, 35 grams of fiber a day is going to be help you with your overall health and help you with your dieting because it will keep you full. That being said, if you're trying to eat 5,000 calories like this guy who's really tall and really skinny and he's got to gain weight, if you're eating 5, 6,000 calories and you're getting carb sources from fibrous sources, you're going to be farting all day and you're not going to be able to eat enough. It just eventually you're just not going to be able to stuff yourself. Now, white rice, some white rice with some ground beef, you can eat that all fucking day. It's just so chemically appropriate for your stomach that it gets in and out really quickly. So those are the types of things you want to look for. Healthy fats, white rice, and then obviously lots of good sources of protein. When you get those good sources of protein, make them fatty sources so that you can help beef up the calorie intake. And then as far as training, I always recommend periodization. What do I mean by that? I mean there's going to be times when I think that someone who's really skinny should – get into more hypertrophy-based training, higher reps, higher volume, not necessarily so intense. But you gotta work in, like a 3 day a week, maybe even a full body plan where you're training your entire body 3 days a week, based around nothing but heavy compound lifting. You know, do that for 3 to 4 weeks, then go into a more hypertrophy-based program because you're going to have to dive into muscular development from all angles. And you do have a lot of fast twitch and slow twitch fibers, and they need to be trained in like complete comprehensive nature to grow when you're a hard grower. And hard gainers have a hard time gaining weight. It's just legit. And there's a big benefit hormonally and size wise and for you to lift in that 3 to 5 rep range, super heavy, nothing but deadlifts, benching, overhead press, chin ups, and squats, you know, just hammer them and just really heavy, really low reps. But then on top of that, you gotta work in some higher reps, that 12 to 15 rep range for like 8 to 10 sets, you know, a lot more volume. And you periodize it. Like I said, you have a really mapped out idea of what you're going to be doing for a month, then another month where you shift into something else. And you continually progress with both programs. So that is my best recommendation for you. I'm going to take one more here. What do you suggest for someone who has a routine of drinking and then eating big meals? Food addict and alcoholic, they go hand in hand. Yeah, they absolutely do. I don't think that one is feeding the other. I think that that person you're referring to is an addict. The end. Now, I didn't have a problem with crack when I was drinking, and I didn't have a drinking problem when I was on crack. I'm a drug addict, and I liked drugs and alcohol. All forms. One didn't feed the other. It was just that's the way I am. And food addiction is very real. And if someone is an addict, like really chemically an addict, and they have that kind of brain makeup, that chemical makeup, they're going to have just as much trouble controlling their eating as they are controlling their drinking. Obviously, it's way harder to control your eating when you're inebriated. What do I suggest for someone like that is get into recovery. I mean, they need to get clean. That's it. Bottom line. There's going to be no, absolutely zero ability for that person to control their eating if they're continually drinking in a problem way. There's nothing. And you can't get to the bottom of what caused these, you know, there's going to be some underlying trauma or some underlying experience that leads people to be this way, okay? You know, there certainly was for me, and there has been with every fucking addict I've ever met. But you're not going to be able to kind of reverse engineer it and backtrack and find out what those things are until you deal with the problem of addiction. That has to be the front line. Okay, that's the that those are the troops at the front. Those are the pawns in the front that you got to deal with first before you can get to the kings and the queens and the rooks and the knights and all that shit that's in the back that led to them, you know, you developing these addictions. So that's it. You know, very very cut and dry. It is very simple, but it ain't easy. And it's you got to get into recovery, get into an inpatient facility. I usually recommend at least 28 days, and then find a sponsor, work the steps. That's what I recommend. That's what worked for me. That's what I've seen work for people when they do it, when they actually apply themselves to it, if they're very serious about getting clean. There's a million ways to skin that cat. I'm not saying that's the only way to go about it, you know, the 12-step-based program. But that's – when I see people commit themselves to doing it, it works, myself included. So that's my best recommendation. All right. Thank you to everyone, everyone – who wrote in a question. I really do appreciate it. And in this crazy mixed up world, that makes you think that nobody cares. Remember, we do. Be good, people.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.